nothing wrong. I'm an alcoholic. And sobriety date's July 17th, 1987. And you did a good job. I got forced into AA. It wasn't my idea. Anyway, growing up, I come from a family of seven. I was a middle child, and whoever decided to throw me in the middle of that mess, I don't know, but, you know, if you can survive this, kids, you can do it. Anyway, I did survive it, and it has a lot to do with who I am and how I drank and how I acted, you know, until I came into AA. You know, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but, you know, somebody put me there. I had nothing to do with that. I just heard that recently, and I love that. Anyway, like I said, I was a middle kid, and, you know, I didn't know how to act. I was just bad, and I was reminded of that at every turn. You're not supposed to do that. And I didn't care. I know when my mom and dad, they split up. He was still my hero. Like, he was a bad dude, but he was my hero. And I couldn't wait to be just like this guy, you know what I mean? And by the time I was 13, and I was in enough trouble that I got taken out of my home and put in a state school where that, you know, I would learn how to behave. And it didn't work, not even a little bit. I remember the judge, because I don't know, I was 70 pounds, like 70 pounds, like almost 6 foot tall. And I was just the baddest man on the planet, right? At 70 pounds. If I was 70 pounds, it was a lot. And I'm telling the judge, you can't do anything to me. And he's like, yeah, we'll see. You're not going to like this. And he was right about that. I did not like it. But, you know, even at an early age, I drank. We just drank all the time. That's what we did. You know what I mean? We were always out of the house. You leave the house early and you come back. And sometimes I came back and sometimes I didn't. You know, it depends what whatever's going on. Anyway, there was always booze involved and whatever else. And I liked it from an early age on. I loved it. Because, like, if I didn't drink, I didn't talk. I had nothing to say. And when I drank, I was Superman. I could talk. I could, whatever. Whatever was happening, I was going to do it. And But also, at the same note, every time I got in trouble, I had been drinking. So, you know, but I didn't know that. And I didn't see that then. You know, after coming into AA, I see that. And like what happened at 13, all that stuff, it was because of, you know, alcohol and how I acted when I drank. And anyway, my family didn't see me again until I was 19. I showed up Thanksgiving morning. I didn't know it was Thanksgiving. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I was just driving around, and I had to go see my mom. And so I did, right? It lasted 2 weeks before I got kicked out of there again. And she meant it, like, don't come back. Matter of fact, she lent me $2 and never let me forget it, never let me repay it. She just never wanted, I mean, she was hot. She never wanted to see me again. Here, and at 17 on my birthday, I was in the principal. I was always in trouble. Anyway, and again, I was always in front of judges. And school was like, get off the bus and go to the office, because that's where I did like most of my school work. And at 17, again on my birthday, I was doing some kind of drug. And here comes these two Marines, and I'm just laughing. You know what I mean? They were for me. And they brought me to Albany and then Paris Island. I didn't think it was that funny then, but it was another way to keep me out of trouble. And it didn't work either. And really, nothing was ever going to work for me. You know, I mean, I thought I was just living my life. I was just being me. I was a good old boy and doing good old boy stuff. That's what I thought. You know what I mean? You drink, you fight, you drink, you fight, you drink, you fall down, you drink, you piss your pants, you fight, you know, whatever. You know, just. And I drove tractor trailer for a living too, you know, which was a good job for me. I could leave the bars, go to work, and I could drink as much as I wanted. You know, and it wasn't such a big deal like in the 80s. If I got caught, it probably would have been a big deal. But, you know, And but that's what I did. And there's always judges. Again, there's always judges involved somewhere along the line. And because I didn't drink and behave. I learned early on, too, if I drank with people my age, I was probably going to go to jail. If I drank with people like, 30, 40 years older, I could behave. So that's who I drank with. And they drank like me. They were there at 8 o'clock in the morning, too. And they didn't get in trouble. And, I tried that for a while. And I did get in less trouble. And then, I don't think I was a bad kid. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, I was a terrible freaking kid. It's honesty stuff. I was just freaking horrible. I put my poor mom through hell. And I put everybody in it through hell. Anyway, I like to drink, though. I loved how I tasted. How it made me feel. And nobody was going to tell me anything different, that it was bad, When I ended up coming into AA, I had gotten my first DWI was 15 days in jail or $150 fine. And I had the money, and I'm not giving away my money. And I had a habit I needed to kick anyway. So I said, I'll just take the 15 days. And the judge was like amazed by that. And he called my bluff and gave me 15 days. I kicked whatever I was going to kick. I never touched it again. And I went back to work. I never even lost my license or anything. So I didn't learn anything, except when you throw up for 11 days in jail, people get really pissed off at you. And they were really mad at me. Anyway, I got through that. And then I thought my life was going good. Go to work, drink, go to work, drink, go to work, drink. Sometimes sleep, sometimes not. But I did always go to work. I didn't know enough to do that, to go to work. And that kept me out of a lot of trouble. So, it was so much repetition, but you think that like a blind guy would be able to see that. If you drink, you go to jail pretty much, or you're going to do something stupid. Not this guy. Anyway, my last DWI, it was a little bit different. This judge, he had me come to his court every Monday. And sometimes I'm like the only one there because they weren't open. He just had me come there to see what kind of shape I was in or whatever, to talk to me or whatever. Anyway, I did his roof and he paid me all at one time and I got arrested 3 times that night. Yeah. Oh, this time, because he took my license, I had to work for these girls. They were strippers. There was like 15 of them in the house. They took me in and, I didn't want to work there, you know what I mean? But they kept me pretty drunk, and life was good. Anyway, that was the judge's fault, too, because he didn't understand. I got like 10 aggravated unlicensed drivings in that time, too, because I kept driving anyway. And this town had like 30 different roads you could take in and out of town. And I kept going down the same one and getting pulled over by the same cops all the time. He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, me? You got to call your dogs off, bro. They're harassing me. And I really didn't get it. I didn't. I really thought they were picking on me. And I was supposed to be like automatic jail time, too, and he didn't give me jail for that. Anyway, I did his roof. I got arrested 3 times. And that Monday, they bring me to court. He said, I got a $500 fine. I was like, dude, I'm broke. And he was so mad. And I said, but you should have known better than give me all that money at one time. This is kind of on you. And that, the next thing I know, I woke up in detox, which in 1987, I mean, I never heard of detox. I never heard of AA. I never heard of any of this stuff. I could have missed them conversations, I guess, but I never heard about it. And I woke up in detox with handcuffs, which I kind of forgot about until somebody reminded me about seeing me there with handcuffs on. Because I would have just left, you know what I mean? If I'm not locked in, I'm out. You know what I mean? And I guess he knew that too. And so here I am. They asked me, where I lived, and I don't know. it wasn't important to me. I could tell you where I work, but I couldn't tell you where I live. And I was a mess. But this is how messed up I was. The lady that ran detox, she was smoking. She was absolutely beautiful. And she asked me if I wanted to go up on the roof to smoke. So I'm like, how you doing? I made such a jerk out of myself. You know what I mean? I was a friggin' mess. But if she wants me, right? Oh, my God. She's like, bro, easy does it. Anyway, you know, no. She was really like, you asked me if I wanted to smoke a cigarette. So that's how that started. So that wasn't good. But anyway, they brought me down. I remember them bringing me down to meetings in Kingston Hospital. And that was not for me. They started talking like about higher power stuff. That's a higher power. You know, like getting the electric company involved. Really, I was lost, man. It's like, holy crap. And then there's somebody talking about God. Somebody said, yeah, I use my comic books as my higher power. It's like, I know I'm in the wrong place. You know what I mean? This is the wrong floor. And it has to be. And I went back to court and I said, it was like, you wouldn't believe it. They're talking about God and Jesus. Nobody said Jesus. And, bro, I can't do it. He said, well, maybe that's what you need. But somebody's talking about comic books being a higher power. He said, maybe you need comic books. I don't know. But you're going. It's like, I knew he wasn't my friend anymore. You know what I mean? He let me take antabuse, and I got this big lecture. I had to go see the doctor. Like, if you drink kind of stuff, you're going to get really, really sick. I'm thinking, yeah, right. New York State's been trying to scare me since I was a kid. And they can't kill me. They said, well, this stuff could kill you. So first thing I did was I drank, because I got to try it out. I got a girlfriend from detox to home. I got a girlfriend to move in with. And I got so freaking sick, I thought she was trying to poison me. So I broke up with her. I took my two garbage bags. I always had two garbage bags of clothes. And I left. Oh, man, I thought I was going to die. I got, like, bright red from my chest up. And then she's like, oh, I wouldn't do that. I was like, yeah, right. If New York State would try to kill me. Well, I did it again. And I felt kind of bad because I treated her pretty bad. And I was not going to drink on antabuse again for a third time. The second time was worse than the first. And I told the judge what I thought about that, too. It wasn't very nice. You know, give a guy some warning. And he's like, you got all the warning you're getting. And anyway, I started going back to A. And people are just nice. And I was like, oh. Sitting in the corner, I got to come in a little bit late. But then people stare at you when you come in late. So I'd go there a little bit early so they didn't stare at me coming in. And the same people every day, how are you doing? You know, what do you need? I mean, obnoxiously nice, where it was irritating how nice they were. But it got to me. You know what I mean? It did. It's like, and I didn't have anything. And they helped me find a room that I was going to pay rent on. And but it was cool. It was my room, you know. Anyway, they were nice. And somebody, they used to talk a lot about getting 90, you know, doing 90 meetings in 90 days. It's like, oh, my God, I can't do it. There's no way. That's impossible. I did way more than 90 meetings in 90 days. And I had a coffee commitment. I went on my 90th day, made coffee. Went to New Paltz and got trashed. I don't know what happened. I don't know if people were happy to see me or not happy to see me. I would bet not, because I thought I was a social butterfly when I was drinking, but I kind of wasn't. And 3 days later, I woke up on Clinton Avenue. I'm not supposed to mention that, but I woke up on this street in the middle of this city, little city, and like my shirt was ripped, the ass of my pants was gone. And it's like, if I could do this every 90 days, this would work out. So that was my mark. If I could drink every 90 days, and I didn't get arrested, apparently. So that was my goal. And I couldn't get 90 days again to save for nothing. And then it was like every 30 days. And then I couldn't do that. And then like, if I could drink every 10 days, life would be okay, too. Couldn't do it. So I ended up in rehab somewhere in Middletown. Anyway, I was there for 35 days, and I'm so glad I went there. Not because anything they did. It was just 35 days away, you know, away from booze, and that's what I needed. And I got a jump start on staying sober, and they did give me a lot of tools or whatever. Like go to a meeting every day, you know, don't drink, don't get drunk, you know, like real smart stuff. And I did that. And it's not like I had a whole bunch of options. Like people weren't begging me to come live with them, people weren't like calling me up like to beg me to hang out with them either. So I did that, and I've been sober since then. And I never thought this is my truth, that I never thought I was good enough. Once I seen what sobriety was, and the steps and stuff, I never thought that I would be good enough to get there. You know, like all the crappy things I did, like it was like too much. You know what I mean? It was like that I wasn't worthwhile. And people in AA kept saying, "Ron, yeah, you are. You can make this life anything you want. That stuff, you know what I mean? You just gotta let that go. Let God forgive you. It's like, let's not do this God stuff. You know what I mean? Well, we forgive you. Well, that's better, but it really doesn't matter. But that worked for me, how nice and kind they were. You know, I went through sponsors, like, you know, like if they had like a lot of work, yeah, you want to sponsor me? Yeah, but most people said no in the beginning because I was like really angry. Believe it or not, I was really, really angry. And then this one guy said, yeah, and he was the kindest guy I've ever met in my life. And he helped so many people, and he wanted to help me too. And he like met me where I was at. Like I wasn't ready to do the steps. I was okay with the not drinking stuff. You know what I mean? As long as that was gonna last. And then all of a sudden I didn't want to let other people down with my drink if I drank. And it made a difference. And to be honest, the people that helped me the most were people that died from this disease. Like they could help me, but they couldn't help themselves. And that, I don't know, that left a mark on me. Like maybe I am worth it. You know what I mean? Maybe even these guys seen something. And in the meantime, before I got to do the steps, you know, I got involved with a girl, got her pregnant, we got married because I'm Ron, I'm gonna do the right thing now that I'm sober. You know, I mean, I got like 3 months, I gotcha, you know what I mean? You're golden. But she ended up being a lesbian. And, you know, and it was too good to be true. Like she liked motorcycles, hunting, fishing. It was like, man, I love this AA stuff. Not so much. And, you know, I tried to joke my way out of that one too. You know what I mean? And when she told me she was gay, I was like, come on, you're watching too much like Ricky Lake. And she's like, no, I'm kidding. And then all of a sudden it hit me. You're dating that girl that rides that horse all the time. Like, yeah. But you keep this place, I'm taking a kid. And then that's how it went. And so I got to raise my kid. He's going to be 33. He's never seen me drink or do drugs. And he knows the life he got saved from. He knows. Because you know, he knows my family. They can't wait to tell him all the rotten things I did. You know what I mean? Like every time I see him. Anyway, he knows. And like I never told him, like, he can't drink. I just say, like, there's a lot of alcoholics in our family. And, you know, so be careful. And you know there's a way out. And I think I was sober, like, 5 or 6 years. And he seen me do something terrible. And it scared him. And I never wanted my kid to be scared of me. I was willing to do the steps then, you know, because I knew something had to change. And talking to my sponsor, he was like, you know, like, there's got to be some cash and prizes at the end of these steps, right? And he says, yeah, you'll have a personal contact with your higher power. That'd be yours. And the way he said it made it sound like cash and prizes, you know what I mean? And he was right. And I do have a wonderful relationship with my higher power. And I do see things way different today than I did when I came in. The things that I thought were so, that I would die for, isn't even on the radar. Isn't. And things that I thought it made me a man isn't even on the radar most days. And my life did change. And I asked my higher power to take that desire to drink away. And I haven't had a desire to drink since that day. And the rage, I haven't been arrested since that day. That day my son seen me do something terrible. I got arrested that day for 5 years or 6 years of sobriety. It was, you know, it wasn't even about that. It was about my son being scared. But, you know, for me, it has always taken dramatic stuff for me to change anything. But that, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. And I don't know. The most important thing in my life today is sobriety. If I don't see it, I know God does, and it will be removed. If it's bad for me, especially when it comes around women, you put me in a room full of 50 angels, I'm going to find that devil in the closet, and that's who I'm getting involved with. I guarantee it. You know what I mean? There's more than one disease in this freaking world. It's not just alcoholism. And anyway, I've made so many bad, you know, I made a ton of bad choices, and I didn't have to drink through any of them. I got to have a wonderful relationship with my mom the last 9 years of her life. She quit drinking because I did. She came to my first AA anniversary, and she's asking people, he's not even like sneaking anything? They're like, nope, he's doing good. And then she starts this crying thing, you know. I never seen her cry for something good that I did, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm up there and I'm freaking balling. I just bought a brand new shirt, brand new pants, like to look good. And you know, she had me up there balling. She said, you know, you can come to the house. I said, nah, Ma, I can't. She's like, why? I said, because I can't be around the drinking. You know what I mean? I got to be careful with that. She said, oh, nobody ever drink in the house again. She quit drinking that day. She made my stepfather quit drinking, who really, really hated me. I put him through hell, too. And, he said, why do I got to quit drinking? She said, because I said so. And he did. He didn't talk to me for the longest time. Then all of a sudden, he got his license back. And they're going all over the place. He said, man, I am so happy I quit drinking. You know what I mean? And out of all the kids, he said, he told me, well, he told everybody, he was proud of me. He didn't talk like that. You know what I mean? That's because of AA. You know, and doing the steps the best I could. And living the best life I can. You know, I certainly don't do it. Eat good by any stretch of the imagination compared to others, but I don't compare myself to others. I know who I was, who I am now, and there's no comparison. Doesn't mean I don't have bad days, you know, but I don't have to drink through bad days. I don't have to be happy all the time. I don't have to drink because I'm not happy. I don't have to drink because of bad relationships. I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do today, and they're all my choices. And, you know, AA's given me that. And I know if I can stay sober, anybody can stay sober again, because I did not want this. I remember these guys coming up, if you want what we want, I don't. Stop it right now. I don't want anything you people have. And I didn't. Anyway, and AA got me anyway. And for me to stay here, I did have to change, you know, whatever that took. And my sponsor met me there. Like I said, he met me there. When I was ready, he was willing to. You know what I mean? He's like, let's go. And, you know, that's why I try to be with guys I sponsor. You know, you don't want to go to meetings? Don't go. You want to go to 1 week? Have at it. You know, my job is just to make you feel comfortable when I'm around you. I think if I had like a dictator thing, or, you know, this is how we do it, you know, I'm out. I'd probably be dead. I had enough of that when I was drinking. It's almost time, right? I ain't giving this guy too much time. I'm selfish. That's what worked for me. It doesn't work for everybody. You know what I mean? I've done the big book. I don't know, frig, a million times. Step book. But my sponsor used to tell me to go to speaker meetings all the time. I think that was his way, like, you know, like, be quiet. I didn't get it then, but I get it now. Like, you know, like, be quiet and listen, because, you know, if there's an argument, I can get in it. But a speaker meeting, you don't get to do that, and you really have to learn to listen or count tiles, which I'm very good at. And again, I'm happy with my recovery, and that's really the only one that matters. And people, everybody that knows me knows I don't drink. And like where I came from in Ulster County, like the cops would send people to me, doctors. Not because I'm this wonderful guy. They just knew that they knew I didn't drink, and it didn't bother them. That bothered me that they knew that, and that they sent me guys to talk to. I love that. I miss that. If I could be like when I get pulled over now, if I could be quiet long enough, I could tell them that now too, instead of like arguing. I could say, you know, if you get somebody that's sick and suffering, you can send them my way, you know. And I need to work on that a lot. And you know, we get what we get, right? And this is what I got, and I'm so grateful for it. And if I could help half the guys that my sponsor helped, I'd be a happy man. And that's another thing. The things that make me happy today are so different than the things that used to make me happy. The things that make me happy today does not get me sent to jail. And yeah, I can't tell you the most horrible thing I ever did because I never got caught. But it wasn't that. It still bothers me. I'll tell you. I stole a cow. I just won't tell you from where it's from. You know what I mean? I didn't need a cow. I didn't want a cow. I had no desire to steal a cow. But it kept talking to me like all day long. I'm just trying to work, and this cow kept coming around. You know what I mean? And I was it's like, oh, bro. I was freaking hammered. And it still bothers me. You know what I mean? I like collect animals like to try to make, they're trying to do good. And he just talked to the wrong guy that day. But he was delicious also. All right, before my sense of humor starts coming out too much. That's my story. I'm Ron. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you.